All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. University Hospital on the campus of IUPUI and Methodist Hospital, right there dominating the corner of 16th and Capitol, have had a close relationship with the African-American community for many, many years. So anytime people hear anything like about Methodist Hospital and University Hospital, people kind of get kind of nervous and kind of concerned. And we also know that the hospital industry has been going in Indianapolis and to be fair, around the country has been going through periods of consolidation, just like the media business has gone through consolidation. The department store business has gone through consolidation. I think everything but drugstores and fast food restaurants have gone through consolidation. So it is something that goes on. So the Indianapolis Business Journal on Friday evening broke a story that Methodist and University Hospitals, IU Health, may be looking at merging a building or two and consolidating. And then the Indianapolis Star, you know, had to copy, and then all the TV stations. And I said, oh, my goodness gracious. And then to add that, a brother's coming in to be the president of Methodist and University. So we're going, what's going on? And if you remember, it was last fall when IU Health, you called all the media in and said, hey, we've got to reduce our expenses by about $1 million over 4 to 5 years, as I remember that. So we wanted to find out, you know, what really is going on. And in the house is Jonathan Cutright. He is the chief operating officer of Methodist and University Hospitals, and he soon is going to be working for the new president of Methodist and University, Brother Herbert Buchanan, who is coming here from being the head of the Howard University Hospital in Washington, D.C. So, Jonathan Cutright, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So what's going on? As I understand it, the only decision that has been made is that the emergency room at University is moving to Methodist to have one combined emergency room right there on the north side of 16th Street, right at Senate, starting next Tuesday.
That's correct. First off, thank you for having me. This is an honor to be a part of your show. Yes, we are delighted to have Herb Buchanan join us as the president for Methodist University, and he'll do a fantastic job for us. Yes, it is true that every single day we are trying to figure out ways to consolidate and improve overall efficiency of our organization. Mm-hmm. The emergency department is one example of that. We will have one adult emergency department. It will be based at Methodist Hospital, and as you said, that will begin on July the 1st, and it will make it so that we will have one larger, more efficient emergency room based at Methodist Hospital.
I heard you say the word adult, so that means for children, that emergency room would be down at Riley?
In general, that is exactly right. Are there times when children are seen in our emergency department? Yes, but mm-hmm. in general, we have a very outstanding emergency department based at Riley Hospital.
And then I understand you all have pulled a committee together of the IU. Is that for the whole IU Health family or just the IU Health family at Methodist and University to take a very serious look at how to operate and what to do with those two, because those are not small buildings.
Indeed. Yeah, so we have a team of 23, 18 physicians. It's going to be based of an incredibly representative group of our organization, mm-hmm. Academics, clinicians, finance, administration. We're very delighted to be a part of this, and we had our initial kickoff meeting last Thursday, and our number one goal of that team is to try to identify what is our clinical model of care going to be in the future, because things are significantly changing. There more and more, we will not be as much of a hospital-centric industry. And much more focused on the continuum of care, getting more and more patients out into the outpatient practice. It's a lot less expensive. And so we are actively trying to come up with what our clinical model of care is. After we do that, there will be facility implications that come out of that. But that's a next step, if you will, once we identify what our model is going to be for the future.
one of the newspapers said that you're at 65% capacity at each hospital. First of all, is that number anywhere near correct? And when they say capacity, that's how many beds are being used on average?
Yes.
But, you know, just because it's in the newspaper, don't make it right.
Indeed. If it were on the radio, of course, it would be better.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, certainly it depends on which area of the hospital you're looking at. But big picture, both of our hospitals, I don't care which area it is, we have room to grow and expand, or we have room to make our hospitals much more efficient. Mm-hmm. The emergency department's a very solid example of that. Our emergency department at Methodist Hospital has decreased by about 6 or 7% over the last 2 years, and we were able to absorb nearly all of the anticipated volume that will patients that will flow from University Hospital into that existing capacity, and we there are many other examples of that, operating rooms, ICUs, all of our various parts of a hospital.
Correct me if I'm wrong. There had been some procedures that Methodist specialized in that have been moved to other parts of the IU Health system. Is that correct, or is that some of this part of that misinformation that's been out in the community?
Well, certainly,
I think it's something we had to do with heart, which was a buzz that I heard.
Yeah. Well, certainly we work every single day to identify various procedures and various patients that can be better served in our facilities that are based outside of the main academic health center. That being said, there are also things that we do the polar opposite, where we move more of the cases, more of the patients from the suburban setting into the academic health center, where we can have greater volume, which will equate to more quality. The higher the volume it is, the higher quality in general that we see.
The importance of, because you use the term academic health center, the importance of this facility, whether it is in two buildings, one building, you hit the lottery and you build something brand new somewhere that we haven't figured out yet. The parking lot could work over here. The key in the tie-in with the medical school and the dental school and the eye doctor school, that's still critical to IU Health's mission?
Absolutely. We will have an outstanding, solid relationship with the School of Medicine, the School of Nursing, the School of Dentistry, et cetera. That is part of what we are. It's part of our tripartite mission, our three missions of clinical care, research, and education.
Should people listening, and it used to be maybe 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, that we were hearing about nursing shortage and shortage of paraprofessionals in the medical field. So a lot of people got their high school diplomas and either ran to Ivy Tech or they ran to the proprietary schools and are getting all this education on medical. You guys had schools where you were training people to be medical technicians and all this kind of stuff. Now people are hearing the industry constricting. First of all, if people were even thinking about getting into the medical business, should they back up a minute?
That's an excellent question. I can say from personal experience, I just talked to my brother into taking a mid-career change and becoming a nurse, and he's about to graduate as a nurse. My niece is about to become a nurse. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
Okay.
I think it's an outstanding industry for the future. We are a very large country. It's just that our model is changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be less inpatient, hospital-centric, and more focused on the outpatient and the clinics, and it'll be less expensive. But we still have a population that requires outstanding healthcare. So I don't think the demand for nurses and the like is going to drop.
Is it also people in the community understanding that maybe they've had a relative in the hospital, and maybe 10 years ago that person might have been in the hospital for 2 weeks. This time, y'all was running them out of there. And not just you, all the other hospital empires were running them out of there in 3 to 4 days.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We as an industry have got to be incredibly efficient. And let's face it, with our length of stay, it is every day that a patient is there that they don't need to be, that it's not appropriate. is much more expensive for the patient and for society overall. So we do everything we can to ensure that our length of stay is appropriate for the level of care that we're providing.
Anytime people hear consolidation, employees that work for the place being consolidated all of a sudden get nervous. They get antsy. It affects their morale. It affects their work. And you guys are in a business where you want – it's a zero-fail business. You want everybody, you know, on top of their game at all times. As you all work through this transition, recognizing you haven't made any decisions yet other than the emergency room, what are you guys doing with the staff at University and Methodist to kind of, you know, put some balm, you know, on the situation, kind of chill people out?
Yeah. Welcome to my life for the last several months.
So this is something that's been going. This is not just something that all of a sudden the Indianapolis Business Journal just sprung this and folks at IU Health are like, oh, my goodness.
No, it's not like that.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple of things. Yes, what we do every single day is there are national benchmarks that would say, there are standards that would say how much nursing staff or how much tech staff that we would need to have for the amount of volume or patient volume is going through there. We try to staff the majority of our operations at the 25th percentile of our peer organizations that is out there, and that is how we are able to ensure that we are properly staffed for the amount of patients that we're taking care of each and every day.
The fact that Methodist and University probably, compared to some of the other hospital empires around here, probably has a stronger diversity record in terms of not just African-American diversity on staff, but all diversity on staff. How critical is it, you know, if as part of this restructuring, some people cannot cross that Jordan River with you all? You know, is that going to be the most difficult part, or is the operational part and the mechanical part going to be the most difficult?
Well, each and every day, we work very diligently to ensure that we have a patient an employee population that matches Marion County and Central Indiana in general. We work very diligently in that. In general, about 1 in 5 of our staff are African American, and we are very committed to keeping that exactly where it needs to be. It's who we take care of each and every day, and it is in the African American community is critically important to Methodist, and Methodist hopefully is critically important to the African American community as well.
We were talking in the break, and I told you about one of my mentors, Dr. Frank Lloyd, the former vice president of medical research, former owner of these radio stations, the president of first person of color to be a hospital president in any capacity here in Indianapolis, and who helped take Methodist Hospital from where they were back in the 70s into the level where they are today. One of the things that he taught me was it's important to go through the process. You know, if you're looking at any change, it's important to go through the process, and it's important to take your time in the process. If as you go through the process, it ain't ready yet, don't rush it. Is that kind of what, using a little bit of Dr. Lloyd's words in terms of this committee, you're not trying to come back in 30 days with a plan, are you?
No. First off, thanks for that history lesson. That's outstanding. I'm looking forward to learning more and more about Mr. Lloyd. I've heard some about him, but it's exciting to hear what you had to say. I sound like a great individual for Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We are committed to ensuring that we go through this process in a very thoughtful, quantitative, numerically driven basis. And if you think about it, this project should make all of us pause because it's got a long, long tail to it as to the implications of this. And so we are working as an entire team to ensure that we make the right decisions over time. And it won't be a snap decision.
And IU Health is committed to having a strong central medical facility in, I'm going to say Center Township. I'm tired of this urban core because nobody know what the urban core means. Y'all know it. Set in Center Township in the central part of this city county.
IU Health is in the downtown area. It got a partnership that will not end.
So no date on when the smoke will rise from the lighthouse over there on Capitol, or anything like that, or once decisions are made, what you do? I can't order a condo in the vacant building. Anything?
Not anytime soon. No.
Not anytime soon.
That being said, this decision, a lot of people, thousands of people, are frankly concerned about it, mm-hmm. and it has implications that go very broad in our community. So we need to be thoughtful, albeit we need to make a very an appropriate timed decision, and it needs to be made relatively quickly, and we know that.
Some of the people who responded online to the stories in the Indianapolis Star, Star News, IndyStar.com, or IBJ.com said, aha, this is all the fault of Obamacare. If we didn't have Obamacare, IU Health wouldn't be doing this.
I don't know how they could connect those dots, frankly. More and more of our society, if you think about it, approximately 17-18% of our total economy is spent on healthcare right now. Mm-hmm. Whether we had Obamacare or not, society was saying we've spent way too much money on healthcare. Therefore, we need to decrease the total cost to make it so we're a more efficient society and a better, more highly competitive economy. Therefore, we needed to do this regardless. I'm actually very excited that we're going to be much more efficient, mm-hmm. much more proactive, and this is going to be great for our city, great for our state, and frankly, good for the country as well.
He's Jonathan Curtwright. He is the Chief Operating Officer of Methodist Hospital and University Hospital, part of the IU Health system. And starting in, 2 weeks? My goodness, time flies when you're having fun. There'll be a new guy in town helping Mr. Curtwright and the IU Health team figure out what are they going to do to make Methodist and University much more efficient in the downtown area to be able to serve people better at a shorter period of time, as well as beef up the neighborhood health centers. So you don't have to go to the big hospital, you know, to get your tonsils taken out. You can go someplace else, because you really don't want them to go to the drugstore and get the tonsils taken out. You'd rather go into a quality IU Health type facility.
Absolutely.
Is that a problem? The drugstore is doing all this kind of stuff?
Well, it's another example mm-hmm. of where we can do it in a less expensive environment, and we're trying to figure out how we can better partner with those people each and every day.
Jonathan Curtwright, thanks very much for being with us with IU Health, with Methodist, and now you know the rest of the story. And you got it here first, because a lot of y'all did not read the paper on Saturday. You weren't watching television because you were barbecuing outside, and you don't get IBJ unless I tell you about it. So now you know. And if somebody missed it, you can tell them that they can find it in the morning on praiseindy.com. Our whole interview. Guys, thanks very much for being with us.